Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live. It is Sunday, August 25.
Sunday.
I'm Nima Badati.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
It's the Fiends. We've also got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am excellent. I am broadcasting live and worldwide from my windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America in Wyoming.
Wyoming. Lucky you. Ah, man.
You
Me
used
and the wife
to live
still
here.
We fantasize about moving back to, yes, living out on the Wind River Range.
Well, the house across the street from me got sold, so you can't move back here.
I don't think I'd move back to Casper. Casper was kind of plain. I did like Fremont County. I would live in Lander. That'd probably be my spot, my dream spot. Lander or maybe Cody if I were to move back to Wyoming.
I'd live in our broadcast – if I could live anywhere in the world, I would probably live in our broadcast area of KYDT up in Sundance.
Yeah.
These days I'm thinking like, man, I want to have a bunch of land between me and something else. And even Sundance would be too metropolitan for me. What's the population of Sundance?
You can't live in any town that has a bank.
No, I think Sundance has a bank. No, that was Gillette.
Yeah, exactly.
That was Gillette where we filmed Mama Liberty walking in open carrying into a bank for our Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom movie.
Yes. Shout out to Mama Liberty. We've also got another shout out to. Shout out to happy birthday, Sean Diwali. We're not saying today's his birthday, but we do send our birthday wishes.
Yeah. We don't give out people's birthdays on the air because, you know, it makes it easier to like weasel into someone's lives the way that the NSA does. You know, people act like the government and bug people and get into your accounts and things. You know, the NSA, it just turns out, has been people at the NSA have been found to be spying on both their ex-wives and like women they're interested in. How creepy is that? Like, this government employee, allegedly, this is what I heard, could be, you know, like say you met some guy, say you met some guy and he just like seemed to intuitively know everything and like was into all the same things you're into. And it turned out it was because his job at the government spying allowed him to read your personal thoughts.
How creepy, but how utterly predictable. It reminds me of the plot of a recent Modern Family episode. They're trying to sell a house, and the teenage girl who's like 19 stalks him on Facebook and figures out all his likes and interests. And he comes in, and there's like memorabilia of his favorite sports teams.
Yeah.
There's like his favorite song is playing. I think it's like Sir Mix-a-Lot or something ridiculous like that.
It's also a Woody Allen movie where Woody Allen or somebody is like spying on someone's therapy sessions through the vent because they live next door. The guy lives next door to the woman's therapist and he just sits there and listens. And yeah, it's the same idea. It's the old school pre-Facebook, pre-Face Space, all those things idea.
Yeah. But if anybody worked for the NSA, you know, I guess there would be 1 or 2% of people who'd be scrupulous enough to not do that. But then they wouldn't go to work for the NSA unless they were a Snowden type and it was their plan all along to do some kind of leak. If that was the case with Snowden, I'm not sure if it was. But if you were the kind of person that won't spy on somebody unscrupulously, then you probably won't apply at the NSA for a job.
So the town that I'm in, where my allegedly windowless bunker lives, is in Casper, Wyoming, which has 52,000 people, something like that. And it's pretty much tied with Cheyenne for the most populated town in this state, which is why
I actually think there's that many people in the county. I think the city itself is like half that. But then you include the metropolitan area. It's like Mills and, you know.
Beautiful, sunny downtown Mills, the bustling metropolis. So Sundance, I just looked up the population of Sundance, Wyoming, which, you know, the Sundance Kid, the movie is named after, and that whole story. The population is, 1,213 people. And the way I'm feeling these days, I'm like, that's a little too metropolitan, man. I think I want to move when we move out and sell our house and retire and move out to, our nation of two of Nestlandia relocated. I'm thinking Beulah, Wyoming. Beulah, Wyoming has a population of, 33. Yeah. And it's right on the border of South Dakota. And, you know, it's really useful to live near that border because, you have like tax advantages both ways. Like, I think you can, if you live in Wyoming, you don't pay state income tax, and then you can go shop in South Dakota and not pay sales tax.
Okay, that's good.
Well, I would like that.
I lived on the border of Washington State and Oregon, and people would do that. You'd live in Washington, and then there's no state tax in Washington, and then of course there's no sales tax in Oregon. Although Washington State for big purchases would still collect it, even if you did buy something in Oregon. Like if you bought a car, then you pay the tax when you register it in Washington.
I wonder if there are any gun people in Wyoming who, you know, have ailments that medical marijuana helps, and they're like people who probably wouldn't even like pot and probably don't like being around people who smoke pot, but you know, they've got some serious illness that only pot can help, and I wonder if they would intentionally move to like the Wyoming-Colorado border so they could live in Wyoming and have their guns, and then when their disease flares up, they could step 6 feet over the border and smoke a joint.
Well, we also wonder – oh, okay. So they'd go over the border to smoke the joint. Yeah. Well, I wonder, are there going to be like – is that an opportunity for people to set up shops across the border? I know on the border of Wyoming and Utah in Evanston, I think, there's a bunch of fireworks shops, porn shops, and liquor stores.
Yeah.
When people who are in Utah, they drive across the border. They go buy their porn, their liquor, and their fireworks.
That was actually a plot point in that silly movie Salt Lake City Punk.
Oh, yeah. It's actually true though. Like I knew that before I saw that movie.
Yeah, but it's not true that if you go into one of those liquor stores on the border and have a mohawk, some guy will point a shotgun at you. That happens in a movie, and that's completely fantasy. And people in Wyoming, you know, we talked yesterday about how people in rural areas tend to be kind of not distrustful, but like, you know, trust but verify, kind of like, okay, you know, they're not – I've never had an experience in Wyoming of hearing of anybody being like just mad dogged for being from somewhere else. But they're, you know, they're kind of like, okay, show us what you got. All right.
Yeah.
Buy the liquor and scuttle back to Utah. All right.
The most mad dogged I've ever been was going to gun shows as a TV reporter. And the meanest looks on earth.
As well you should, man, because – you know, not only do people at gun shows rightfully have a lot of distrust of being filmed, but people have posed as reporters, well-meaning reporters, and really slated, you know, been a gun grabber storyteller.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, my strategy was, of course, just to talk guns with them. You know, tell them what guns I have, tell them about my Mosin ammo, and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Then they get it,
yeah.
You know, and you talk about the right to self-defense. You know, I wouldn't even go for the Second Amendment talk. I'd just go straight to there's a natural right to self-defense, and I'm into that. And, you know.
There's a really good bit in Boston's Gun Bible by Boston Tea Party about how to spot the undercover Fed at the gun show. And one of the things was they'll pick everything up on your table, but they don't have any reverence for it. They'll pick up an antique firearm and hold it like they're holding a full baby diaper.
Like, ew, gross.
Even though they carry
– like their body language gives it away.
Even though they carry a Glock as part of their job, they're totally not gun people and they kind of just – ugh, guns, you know?
Mm,
yeah.
Lame-o.
Lame-o. Yeah, that was the name of the guy that turned in Snowden, wasn't it? Lame-o.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but let's say lame-o. We pronounce that right now. That is the Freedom Fiends official pronunciation is lame-o.
You know, I really like those new pictures of you holding your shotgun and your microphone with your big bushy bushy beard. You kind of look
my
like
mountain man beard.
You look like Kim Thiel from Soundgarden. If Soundgarden were like, you know, a true liberty radio show instead of a rock band. And that one picture of you in the backyard kind of taken from below you really looks like something that'd be in Rolling Stone. Because in Rolling Stone, like what it used to be was the record company would pay for a helicopter and do a shoot on the mountaintop with makeup and with, you know, wind blowing on people. And then when grunge came along, when Soundgarden and Nirvana came along, it was like, oh, Rolling Stone, you want to interview us? Okay, come to our little rented house in Seattle and we'll take the picture in the backyard by the fence. And that's what that picture looked like of you.
Yeah. It's a really awesome picture though. I love the contrast of the green trees in the Texas summer and the gray wood that like matches the wood of the tree that's growing. And the tree's actually a V shape like Vidati. So I was really impressed with that picture.
You know, back when I lived in LA before I wised up and moved to Wyoming, I met some famous people. You know, I mean, I directed Robert Downey Jr. doing the narration on one of my films and met some other famous people. But the most interesting, like, how I met a famous person and the most surprising to me, and I think the best story was, you know, the Soundgarden video for Black Hole Sun, where there's that weird, it's kind of like an Alice in Wonderland theme. And there's this, this kind of old, wise looking man with long gray hair and a gray beard wearing like, you
and
know,
the tiny rose colored glasses.
Yes. And a stovepipe hat, leather hat. You know, that guy is kind of like the star of that video more than the band is. They probably show him more and he's more memorable in it than the band is. And that was kind of an intentional, like, yeah, we're not rock stars. We don't need to show ourselves. It's all about the music. That was the thing back then. So, and it's a good thing. So one day in LA, in Echo Park, I was going out to get the newspaper on my front porch and that guy was at my gate. And I was like, I walked over to him and I'm like, you're the guy from the Soundgarden video. Cause it was pretty current at the time. And he's like,
you really have to rewatch the Soundgarden video if you're listening to this to really get the full effect. Cause you were telling me the story and you made me go watch the video and I totally got it. Cause the video, it's like, there's a black hole sun
it's
and everybody looks at it and then their eyes get big and then you assume it's kind of the apocalypse or something. So
yeah
if I saw that guy outside giving me that look, I'd be like, oh crap, grab the bug out bag. We're going to the middle of the desert.
I went over to him and I was like, you're the guy from the Soundgarden video. And he goes, yeah. And he introduced himself. I can't even remember his name. To me, he's the guy from the Soundgarden video.
Yeah.
And he had little chapbooks, you know, self-published books of his poetry that he was selling. And, and he's like, you want to sell one of these? I'm trying to get some money for some breakfast. I'm like, no, why don't you come in my house? You can have breakfast with me and then I'll interview you for this book I'm writing called $30 Film School and take your picture and then I'll give you a copy of the book later. And he's like, sounds like a plan.
What did you guys eat?
Oh,
did you eat the dead fish from the Soundgarden video?
No. It was like granola and yogurt or something. You know, it was L.A.
That's all they do. You get government yogurt, government granola. They don't have government cheese.
I lived two blocks from like the best burrito place in the world, and it was great because I'd go get a burrito every night for lunch because it's about all I could afford at the time, or for dinner, and then I'd come and I'd sit it on my back porch and like share little bits of chicken with my cat Charlie. And we still do that, although the burritos aren't as good in Wyoming. It's one of the few things that I miss about California.
California Mexican food makes me angry because it's not Tex-Mex, and I expect it to be. But we'll get back to that after we take this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole. Collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series. Available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Fiends, yeah, that's us. It's Freedom Fiends Live. I'm Nima Vidotti here in the hill country of Texas. Round Rock, to be exact. We're going to go down to Brushy Creek later on today and look at the actual Round Rock itself. Michael, where are you at?
Oh, I'm in Wyoming. It's wonderful. I love it. And I got a couple corrections and announcements. One was last week on the show, I said I spend 30 hours per day making phone calls. I meant 30 hours per week. But someone did say that with enough caffeine and nicotine, Michael Dean could probably make 30 hours of phone calls a day. So that's what I do for the fiends. And I wanted to say I made a mistake on talking about the Bourne movie. The new guy in it, Jeremy Remar, the one who shoots down the drone with a rifle, and it's really cool. And then he takes a knife and carves the tracking device that the government put in his leg out, and wrestles a wolf and puts it down the throat of the wolf, and then makes the wolf run away by shooting pistols into the air. And then the second drone drones the wolf instead of him, and then he can get away. Yeah.
No animals were harmed in the droning of this wolf.
Yeah. But I said that he's supposed to be Jason Bourne's son. He's actually supposed to be Jason Bourne, someone else that was in the same program of making super soldiers that are super intelligent with life extending drugs that, if they exist, we think that they'll give to Chelsea. What's her name?
Chelsea Manning.
Yeah. Formerly Bradley Manning. Yeah.
If they gave her the 90-year sentence they wanted to.
So they could make sure she serves every day of it. Yes. But you see, the reason is there's another Bourne book, you know, read them all. And it's like, I got confused because there is a Bourne movie that's supposed to be Bourne's son. And it's like, hey, I read, man. Sorry, people. I mean, y'all watching your movies.
Oh, whatever. You watch your cop shows, your cop drama.
Cop drama. New on cop drama. So the other thing is I wanted to say, we did a good book review of a great book yesterday, the $30 and up underground house book. If you're into the idea of alternative housing and being off the grid but being comfortable, you should go back and listen to that episode yesterday on the Freedom Fiend site where we talked about the $30 and up underground house book. And I did want to say I was watching Hell on Wheels last night, and there was a character that they introduced who had an underground house that looked of the same type. And this is like 100 years ago, so it's a proven design, let's say.
Yes.
And this guy looked like the author of the book. And he was a white guy that was married to two Indian squaws, which I don't think the author of this book probably is. But he said they were fighting all the time, so he was sleeping on the roof of the underground house.
Which means he was sleeping on the ground of the ground.
Well, underground houses are partially underground, you know, so you're still kind of sleeping on a roof, but yeah.
Okay.
So we wanted to talk about our process of how we don't cuss on the air. Now, we're not, you know, we don't cuss constantly, but there's everyday talk and then there's radio talk, and it's kind of hard for some people to switch off from one to the other. So
not for us, though.
Right.
Because we've got a method.
We have a method. You know, there is a 7-second delay that our network has on their end, and they have a guy with a button, and we have a guy. We both have the button on our end through our computers. So if anybody cusses, we can keep it from going out. However, we also, Neem and I are sitting in the same room, and we imitate the government. You know, we read this thing about how back in the day, or maybe still, to launch a full-scale nuclear war, when the president uses the nuclear football, which is the briefcase one of the goons with him carries that has the codes that change every hour, gives the code, you know, the two guys in the silo somewhere, they're like too far apart. It's so one person can't push the button. They're like 15 feet apart. I guess he could use a big stick, but they have to both turn a key and then push a button at the same time. And if one of them doesn't push it, they both have – back in the day in the movies, they had revolvers. And they were supposed to pull out their sidearm and shoot the other guy and then get the janitor to come in at gunpoint or something.
Get the janitor. Scruffy.
Scruffy. Yeah. War were declared. And the reason we're being so silly and fun today is because it's going to make it that much more serious. It's more serial when we
more
talk
Syria.
About Syria later. And
it'll
it is
super
serious. Super, super serious stuff. But, so what Neem and I do is, you know, we don't want to shoot each other, but we both have tasers and bear pepper spray, bear strength pepper spray.
We call it our double blind method.
Yes, we will double blind each other if cuss war were declared. Now explain the war were declared that we use all the time.
Another Futurama reference. We are fans of that. Michael's more of a fan of the Simpsons reference, but I'm more of a fan of the Futurama reference. And Bender and Fry go into a store and they want to buy some ham-flavored gum. And the guy in front of them gets a 5-cent discount on the ham-flavored gum
5%.
Because he's a military veteran. And they get so indignant that they don't get the 5% military discount. So they go to sign up at the nearest recruiting office, and they laugh and chuckle. And they're like, we could just quit the next day, right? And he's like, yes, unless war were declared. And then the alarm goes off, and they go, what's that?
Beep,
he says,
beep.
War were declared.
War were declared. Yeah, we'll be back on The Fiends.
Market is declared.
The opposite of war.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies! Jesus. On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
The government is out to get you. Beware, but they're going to do it with care. Yes, we are talking today about lots of things and being silly, and we found one that's really hilarious. Do we want to get into that now, or did you have any more announcements, Michael?
Oh, I had an announcement in case my grandfather's listening. There's a current juror scam going around of scammers posing as Fed court personnel, claiming people miss jury duty and demanding payment of fines and release of sensitive info. They're just, man, people are so afraid of the government because the government's so horrible to people most of the time that's the new scam. Like I was talking the other day about how all this snail mail spam I get now that's selling, you know, used cars in my town is like, looks like it, and it comes from Washington DC and has like that, what's the statist font that the IRS and everybody uses?
Helvetica.
Yes, Helvetica. We will send you to Helvetica if you don't open this letter. Yeah, everyone's so, like, the state is so oppressive and everyone's so afraid of the state that private businesses that are unscrupulous now act like the state. It's the ones who can't get in bed with the state to actually like have the state covered monopoly and be corporatist. And we have mentioned before that the Boston Tea Party back in the day in the revolutionary times was the Occupy Wall Street of its day because they didn't like corporatism. You know, they didn't like corporations, the East India Tea Trading Company being in bed with the government and taxing their tea. And So any conservatives that love the Boston Tea Party back in the day as an image but hate Occupy Wall Street should look at that. Now, not that they're the same thing, and actually the Occupy Wall Street people confuse commerce and free market with corporatism. But
unfortunately. But there's an opportunity there. You shouldn't approach them with hate. You should hate the sin, not the sinner. Right?
Yeah. So. You should, when they have – next time there's an Occupy Beulah event. There probably never will be. There was an Occupy Casper event, and there were 15 people, and they were there one day. And the paper covered it, and it was peaceful, and there were no arrests. And, you know, the paper covered it like, look.
Yes.
But, next time there's an Occupy thing, you know, don't go down and yell at them and say, you're ruining America. Go to print up
go
some
out
freedom
– hand out Fiends buttons.
Fiends buttons and Freedom Fiends flyers. Yeah, so – So people act like the government to try to scam you. So talk about someone whose job is going to be enforcing
scamming
government
you.
Lunacy. I don't know about scamming. Yes. Allegedly scamming. Yes.
Yes. I think it's a scam. I think government behavior modification and propaganda attempts are a scam, right? They're scamming you into behaving how they want you to behave in their own, in the state's own interest rather than in your interest. But they make it seem like it's in your
benevolent
best interest. Yes.
Social guidance films. Guidance. Yeah.
Exactly. So this is actually a pretty hilarious blog piece, opinion piece by Kyle Smith in the New York Post. Now, I mean, it's not really the most credible news source, but it's good for opinion, and this is a doozy.
Yeah, the fact that this woman and her job description and her background exist, that's accurate. But
yeah,
we just like his commentary on it. I mean, the New York Post is kind of like the weekly world news in some ways, but it's widely read. If you've ever been to New York City, like everyone in the subway, people everywhere are reading it. You see it thrown down on the ground. People are done reading it. Probably more New Yorkers, I would guess, read the New York Post than read the New York Times, because the New York Times is kind of hoity-toity for the average.
It's read by hipsters who think they should be in New York. Oh, yeah, I need to be in
New York. Yeah. Yeah. And war were declared.
So the title of it is called Nudge Off: Why Czars of Suggestion Eat Better, Exercise More, Save, Don't Spend Are Doomed to Inevitable Failure. And his first graph is pretty good too. Unemployed? Underemployed? Working the register at Denny's when you used to be on the management track? Just been informed you'll be one of the Obamacare 29ers who gets that many hours of work a week, no more, to sidestep penalty cost? Don't fret. Washington has just brought in a new behavior sheriff. She's rounding up an encouragement posse to get you to live your life better. She's 27. Her name is Maya Shankar. Yes, so a 27-year-old former violinist is going to be the encouragement czar. Now, I don't think that's the official title, but it seems like that's what it basically boils down to.
Yeah.
And then I'll read we like to take news stories and put them in our words because they're hilarious. But this guy kind of did our work for us today. She's a former violin prodigy at Juilliard School of Music.
Ooh.
Inflamed tendons caused her to put down her fiddle, and now the United States is her instrument. So get ready to be played.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently, so she's been in academia as well, although, according to the writer of the op-ed, Kyle Smith, the only published paper of hers that he could find was about whether the color of your juice affects its taste. And the title? Grape Expectations.
Grape Expectations.
The Role of Cognitive Influences in Color-Flavor Interactions.
That sounds like something on, you know, Saturday Night Live on a skit about someone who's, you know, a hoity-toity academic. The only published paper they have is called Great Expectations, blah-de-blah-de, big word, blah-de-blah. Yeah.
Right. So her actual job is called Senior Policy Advisor at White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. So she's basically going to be pushing these kind of edicts and feel-goodery that will get people to support state-funded science, state-funded technology, and it always bugs me, these people, usually liberals in that camp, that think everything would be solved if everybody just put all their faith in state-run science. But I say state-funded, state-run science it's an oxymoron, because it's not really scientific if your bread and butter comes from the state. You're always going to tailor and have that influence on your studies, and I think it will affect the outcome, and you'll be pushed to come up with certain conclusions, or maybe not if directly pushed, at least pressured. You'll feel a pressure to give your payers what they want.
Yeah, you know, there's a concept of big science. Wikipedia that, Nima. I'm trying to send it to you using small science, and it's not working because we have forgotten to refresh the private conversation level on the off-the-record conversation we're having.
And yes.
It's just going beep, 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 beep in a loop.
Big science is a term used by scientists and historians of science to describe a series of changes in science which occurred in industrial nations during and after World War II, as scientific progress increasingly came to rely on large-scale projects usually funded by national governments or groups of governments. So I assume here they mean probably the prototype would be probably the Manhattan Project is how I would think of that. A giant project Who's and NASA
and
state?
You know, and the Hadron Collider. What's it called? The Hadron Collider. Hadron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Super Collider.
Yeah. Basically, most people who say they go to school to want to be scientists now, they want to be in big science because that's where you have the funding. That's where you have the nice lab. I mean, when I watch the show Bones, it's all about big science funding of individuals solving murder mysteries. And a lot of great revelations in the world have been found by amateur scientists. And then that kind of got replaced after World War II by, like, you want to be a scientist? You go work for the government. And it's kind of changing again now to an extent because of software. Because in software, you can change the world from your bedroom without a big organization or money or a lab, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, think about Bitcoin, think about peer-to-peer file sharing, you know, BitTorrent, think about most of what happens on the World Wide Web. I mean, yeah, the army may have laid down the original, 100-yard, put it this way, it's like when they say the government invented the internet, it's more like the army laid down the first 100 feet of railroad track and then private industry built the railroad across the country.
Right, right. And private industry that was on the backs of just computer nerds, teenage computer nerds who were obsessed with it and spent all their time on it and came up with things that credentialed scientists weren't thinking of because they were so focused on their big science.
You know what drove a lot of it? You know what drove a lot of people to go into computer science that did some of the original work on what led to the internet? Was smart kids in college not wanting to go to the Vietnam War. You know, smart dudes not wanting to get drafted. You could, that was a deferment, was if you're contributing to the military effort, you know, with technology, you didn't have to go hold a machine gun for Uncle Sam and get shot at. So a lot of people who were, you know, like back then, like to become a computer scientist, there weren't computer science programs. It was basically if you were a math geek, you know, you'd go into computer science. So a lot of people that were math geeks, you know, stayed home and saved their skin and worked on building the proto internet.
Yes.
The ARPANET.
The popularization of the term big science, according to Wiki, was an article by Alvin M. Weinberg. And there's a pretty good paragraph here where he compares it to basically the building of the pyramids and the Palace of Versailles. You know, these old projects from old states.
Slave labor.
Yeah, yeah. He says when history looks at the 20th century, she will see science and technology as its theme. She will find in the monuments of big science the huge rockets, the high energy accelerators, the high flux research reactors, symbols of our time just as surely as she finds in Notre Dame a symbol of the Middle Ages. You know, we build to placate what ex-President Eisenhower suggested could become a dominant scientific caste. They build to please the priests of Isis and Osiris. I would say it's the same thing. It's building monuments to the god of the state, the Isis that is Barack Obama, or even bigger than him, the Isis that is the White House and the Lincoln Memorial.
I think it's odd that they use the term ex-president in this because isn't it once a president, always a president? I mean, President Nixon was left in disgrace and he was still called President Nixon afterwards. That's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I guess I have heard SNL used to have an animated
the ex-presidents.
The ex-presidents, yeah, which
who
was hilarious.
Solve mysteries but bungle it all the time.
Right.
There's
right.
also a song called Big Science by Laurie Anderson. It's kind of haunting and unusual. I like it. Although she's one of them New York liberal intellectuals. War were declared. No, we're not anti you know, we're not country boys saying if you go to a university, there's something wrong with you. But yeah, I like education. I basically flunk out of college because I was spending all my time in the library actually learning things and almost did the same thing in high school. But, you know, there's a critique I've heard from conservatives that has some basis that, you know, Reagan appointed people and even Clinton appointed people to his czar positions from private industry who actually had run companies. And, you know, Obama is appointing, you know, 15-year-old girls from Juilliard. That's an exaggeration. But, you know, appointing a lot of people who've never been out of academia, never actually worked for a living, never built anything. And you kind of, if you live that professional academia life, you never really have any kind of real-world experience to understand how things work.
Yeah.
And I'll take off my minarchist hat after this.
Take it off, yes. We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends. Stay with us, folks.
I'm totally Syria.
listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends. Welcome back to the bottom of hour one. I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. I'm here in Texas.
Big science.
Yeah.
I hear a train.
You hear a train?
Yeah.
Yes. Round Rock is known for its train.
It's train.
Yes. Yeah. Our minor league baseball team is called the Round Rock Express.
You know, it's kind of funny, and there's a saying like, that'd be like taking Coles to Newcastle. You know, Newcastle, England was like the coal capital of some region. And, you know, it basically means it's absurd. You're taking something somewhere that it already exists. And, it also works in Wyoming, because taking Coles to Newcastle, Wyoming would be, you know, there are constantly trains coming out of the region that Newcastle's in taking coal to the world.
Indeed. So yeah, we were talking about big science, and over the break, me and Michael were talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson, which I have some liberal friends who are obsessed with him. And the girl in Orange is the New Black is like, I don't believe in Jesus. I believe in Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's kind of this poster boy for what liberals have put their faith in, which is state-funded science saving the world.
Yeah, and that guy's about as much of a scientist as the guys on Mythbusters are scientists. You know, I mean, they may have a science background, and he may have one, but he's just the, like, happy face of it to entertain children and make them go, yes, we shouldn't give money to the Pentagon. We should give it to NASA. It's the same thing, people. You know, I sat on my daddy's knee in 1969 and like was like, oh my, they're going to the moon. It's so exciting. And I kind of worshiped that for a while and was, you know, wanted to be a scientist until I turned 12 and noticed girls. And then I put down the test tubes and became a rock star, you know. That was made more sense. Or tried. But it's you know, the moon launch is what led to drones, and it's what's going to lead to armed drones over America, and it's what's leading to spy drones over America.
Why do you think NASA doesn't get the funding they used to get? Because the state has already figured out a way to kill people anywhere in the world. They don't need this giant space weaponry. They'll probably start refunding NASA if China puts weaponized satellites in space or something like that. But it just makes complete sense. It's completely intuitive to realize that what are the state's motives? The state's only motive is to gain as much power and control over people, especially when it's an empire like the United States Empire, all across the world. And so what are they going to use their money for? That, no matter what program you put it into, that's going to be the end goal, is to increase control. Whether it's something that seems benign, like this 27-year-old violin player, the behavior czar, or it seems something scary, like the Pentagon, it's all the same goal. And so even if you put all the money into NASA, they're still going to have the same goal. They might just approach it with a different methodology.
You know, and this violin czar, is not going to have any real decision-making capacity. She's like, you know, they took the cutest minority in Juilliard who couldn't play her violin anymore and said, she'll make a good face for this. And, you know, really.
And she would. She's pretty cute.
Yeah, she is. But Cass Sunstein is going to be pulling her strings, you know. He's the real, the we need to socially right. guide people behind the curtain.
Well, that's why the name of the opinion piece is Nudge Off, because wasn't that sort of the language that Cass Sunstein used?
Is nudge that, well, was his
we
word.
We should nudge people into behaving how we want them to behave.
Which I always pronounce as nudge, which is the Yiddish word for someone who's a busybody and tries to tell people what to do. You know, he wrote a book called Nudge. I call that book Nudge. Which is not to be confused with The Nuge, which is Ted Nugent, who I like when he talks about guns, but when he talks about anything else, he just sounds like a tyrant to me because he wants war. He wants people to be thrown in cages for smoking weed if they have cancer. He's just horrible on everything except guns. And I can't really back somebody who is only good on one thing, you know, because like we say, there's no such thing as half free.
Yeah. There's also no such thing as a tenth free 60% free or whatever percentage. It's free or not. It's binary, like we also say. If you want to be praising science, that's it. It's binary, okay? You're free or you're not. That's the basic of
it. He should also sell one of his 700 guns and buy a Comrex so he sounds better when he does interviews instead of doing it over the telephone.
And that's technologies.
Because, you know, the First Amendment is as important as the Second Amendment, if not more. It's first, if you're a constitutionalist. You know, the Second Amendment is to protect the First Amendment. If you care that much about the First Amendment as you should, when you practice it, you should sound better than calling in over a cell phone.
Yeah. And if we're to go on that tip, the Second Amendment is also to prevent the tyranny supposedly prevented by the Third Amendment, which is quartered soldiers in your
home.
Ted
Nugent likes that because he likes the war on drugs. That is quartering soldiers.
That is quartering soldiers in your home. And we'll have more about soldiers in a discussion of Syria coming up after this trip to the market on the Freedom Fiends.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Need to talk to people in a secure manner? Liberty Private Network sells phones that will work over any good internet connection and give you military-grade encryption for calls that cannot be tapped. Great for lawyers and clients, business people with trade secrets, or just ordinary folk who don't want their love talk spied on by some scumbag from the central scrutinizer. Call 516-TLK-SAFE on your non-secure phone and tell them the Freedom Fiends sent you. That's 516-TLK-SAFE.
August 25, I'm Nima Vidati. We've also got Michael W. Dean on the other end of the interweb tubes. How's it going, man?
Good. I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural Wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America, particularly in Wyoming.
Occupied by who? Occupied by Occupy?
I don't know. Are you vaping?
No.
Are you vaping there? I'm getting
the
vape sound. You got to vape. Remember, you got to vape further away from the Electrovoice microphones because they do use a large coil and it picks up interference from the small coil in your e-cig. That's news you can use because we are a teaching hospital. We want to talk about we did talk about our cuss-free mentality here.
We did.
Didn't we?
Yeah, all right. Yes. Indeed. We told our story of our double blind method.
So speaking of imitating the government, I just got another thing. It was from Charter, my web provider. You're vaping. I hear you vaping.
No. My vape is not on my desk. The hum is coming from somewhere else.
The NSA drone above your head that's spying on you.
I think that's it.
So Charger sent me something. This isn't really saying it's like the government, but it said important information enclosed. And I'm a client of Charter, so I opened it. But it's trying to sell me Charter service that I already have. So, you know, if everybody just marks everything important, if the government marks everything top secret, it's kind of like crying wolf, man. If you're just going to stop believing it when something's actually important.
Well, I already have. I thought most people have. I roll my eyes at that kind of stuff. But you're right. You're right. They have overused it, especially with the classified stuff. I mean, pretty much everything now when it comes to government documents is classified. So any information, they can go after you as if you're a leaker, as if you were the vile Snowden, things like that. Pretty scary police state we live in these days, where truth has no room in the empire of lies, as has been said before. And one of the biggest examples that we can see right now is Obama apparently doesn't want to be outdone by his predecessor, which means Obama, I guess, he hasn't started a huge war. There was Libya, which was pretty awful. But I think now it's time for another big one. Syria is not looking too good. And apparently the hubbub was there was this alleged chemical attack. It really needs to be stated that it was alleged. A lot of chemical weapons experts aren't buying it. They point to the fact that in all the visuals coming out of this supposed attack, none of the people that are doing the cleanup or the helping or the burying the bodies are wearing any kind of protective gear. And most modern chemical weapons, especially in an area this size, you would have had to use a lot of chemical agent. There would still be contaminant everywhere. People would be going in there with clean suits or at least SARS masks if there were some kind of thing like that. There's also no intermediate damage. There's no people that are just kind of sick. It's either people who are dead or not. So there's a lot of discrepancies here in the story that this was a chemical weapons attack. Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, is actually reporting this from chemical weapons experts like Dan Kazetsa, former official of the U.S. Army Chemical Corps, who's basically said these things that you would expect.
He said corpse.
I said corpse, yeah. Because I'm thinking of corpse. I'm thinking of corpses.
That's intentional. or Freudian
probably
slip.
Not. Yeah. Freudian. We'll call
Obama
it Freudian.
Said that. Obama addressed a bunch of Marine Corps and called them the Marine Corps.
Oh, right.
Three times in one speech while like commending them on their good work. And I mean, hilarious. Is that just, and a lot of people got really upset about that, or, you know, was that intentional? Was it accidental? Was it Freudian? Yeah. I don't know, man.
They're the Corpse Corps is what we can call them.
I want you to backpedal a little bit on that one there, man. I don't know.
I guess. Unintentionally, maybe. No. I guess I have to hate the sin, not the sinner. And the persons propagating the sin are people like Barack Obama, who wants to basically fight a war for al-Qaeda in Syria. Now, they've already been giving weapons and money to al-Qaeda in Syria because
you
have to realize this.
Redirect. I like your redirect there.
That Assad, he's a horrible guy. I mean, he's a dictator. He's a politician. He's a murderer himself. But the people who are fighting against him now are mostly al-Qaeda transplants, like al-Qaeda in Iraq, like the same people we fought a war against. Well, actually, it's been argued that that American troops were fighting on both sides of the war in Iraq as well. But a lot of those guys that were al-Qaeda in Iraq just crossed the border to Syria. Look at a map. It's right there. It's like going from Texas to Louisiana.
You know, Jim Goad said in his book, The Redneck Manifesto, he pointed out, and this is about 15, 17 years ago, he said that Americans always send – American presidents always send troops into small nations when their tyrants in those nations, who were often put in by the CIA 30 years ago, when those people start acting horrible to their people. And he pointed out that they never do that if there's not oil there. And he's like, you know, there's places in Africa where it doesn't matter how much the tyrant acts like Hitler, the United States has no interest in it. Now, that has changed because with technology, there are natural resources like metals that you've never heard of that exist that are as valuable as oil to pull out of the ground. So that's kind of changing
now. Syria's not really considered a mineral-rich area. I think it's a strategic thing.
It's also mining. There is mining there, and Let's see. They produce cement, gypsum, silica, marble, natural crude asphalt, nitrogen fertilizer, phosphate fertilizer, salt, steel, volcanic tuff. I don't know what you use volcanic tuff for, but, you know, a lot of, like, the nitrogen and phosphate are probably used in the bombs and the munitions the United States make.
Well, I think when it comes
there
to...
There is oil. There is oil there, though.
When it comes to modern imperialism, though, there's never just one reason. And so that might be on a litany of reasons.
Well, maybe they
but
want
I don't
to start,
think that that's the main thing.
It's not a big oil producer, but it has oil. Maybe they want to start fracking there. Because fracking changes everything with what's available, where oil's
it
available.
It does. And that's, how that's it, very it true. I mean, look at the Bakken Shale in North Dakota. And there's also a shale area in northeastern Colorado and southeastern Wyoming. But I think this is mostly about strategic policy vis-a-vis Israel. It's all about destabilizing Syria. And it's already destabilized. I can't imagine why it would be advantageous for the U.S. to back militarily al-Qaeda in Syria other than to up the body count, like Barack Obama needs to earn that peace prize, that Nobel Peace Prize. He doesn't have enough bodies on his list. But, you know, Daniel McAdams, who was Ron Paul's foreign policy guy, and Ron Paul himself have said Assad has no interest. He has nothing to gain from using chemical weapons. You know, in Egypt last week or the week before, there were like 1,000 people massacred, 1,000 pro Morsi protesters who were killed. And yeah, they weren't killed by chemical weapons, but that's a bigger body count than this alleged chemical weapons attack in Syria. And the Obama administration backs the anti-Morsi people in Egypt. You know, it's A-okay for them to kill 1,000 people. The other thing is, what would Assad have to gain by making everybody in the region and everybody who's a world power have a reason to go after him? He has nothing to gain. But who does have to gain from it? The al-Qaeda rebels. They could easily make something look like a chemical attack and try to goad the Americans or give the Americans an excuse, give Obama an excuse to send warships to the region.
Yeah.
There were UN inspectors there the day that the alleged chemical attack occurred. And then the Assad regime says, okay, well, the UN inspectors are already here. Just drive up the road and have them inspect it. And I was following this on Google News, and literally there's like a new headline every 10 minutes. So it goes – the headline progression was like this. Syria says send UN inspectors to check out alleged chemical attack. And then the next one was US says, no, it's too late. Then the next one was U.S. set stage for bigger Syria role. So it's like Obama's got his fingers in his ear going, la, 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 I can't hear you. I'm sending weapons and troops there to support al-Qaeda.
I hear the train.
Ridiculous, man. You hear the train now?
Yeah.
And that's what it's like. It's like this train to war.
The train of tyranny that cannot be stopped.
The tyranny train. Yeah, somebody needs to do a cover of that Black Sabbath song. Not War Pigs, Crazy Train, but make it a War Pig.
That's
like
not
War
Black Sabbath. That's Ozzy.
That's Ozzy.
Ozzy solo.
Really?
Yep. Huh. Yeah, and speaking of going headlong into things, this may be too soon, but the guitarist who plays on that song, Randy Rhoads, not to be confused with the female liberal talk show host Randy Rhoads, but Randy Rhoads, who played guitar on Crazy Train, died playing chicken with Ozzy's tour bus in a small plane. He and one other person were like dive bombing the tour bus in the middle of somewhere, nowhere.
Wow.
And
that's brutal, dude.
Yeah,
the plot of a Metalocalypse episode.
It really is.
That doesn't even sound real.
Yeah.
That really happened.
Have you seen the Metalocalypse episode where they get double booked and play – they're supposed to play the same night in Israel and I think it's Cyprus.
And Ramallah?
I think it was Cyprus.
I thought it was Syria.
It was totally Syria.
I love this. I love that our board op is the voice of God and the voice of reason when it comes to Metalocalypse trivia.
Yes.
It's good.
He's the Metalocalypse
expert. I forget he's there, and then I say something stupid, and he corrects me.
He's our Metalocalypse czar. we're glad to have him.
He's our metal czar. Yeah.
Blacker than black. Yes.
Did I get the Randy Rhoads story right?
Yes, you did.
All right.
I believe. It's been a while since I read that.
All right. So, yeah, there's an episode where they play on that border and almost start World War three, but then stop World War. They play on the border. They play both concerts at the same time, basically. They play in the round on the border, and they almost start World War III, but then they stop World War III because they're selling death cones, which are spiked ice cream cones that have blacker than black ice cream on them. And everyone, you know, the Israelis and the Arabs love these cones so much. They're toasting each other with death cones, and that prevents a war.
That's so true, though, right? I mean, that's it. Just find what the people share rather than what the people have against each other. And it's not even the people, right? I mean, I said the Americans earlier, and I apologize. It's not Americans. It's the goons in Washington. And it's not the Israelis. It's the goons in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem.
Did I say on the border of Cyprus and Israel? Man, look at a map, Mr. Dean. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could be in
Cyprus is an island.
I know. You could be on an oil platform, maybe, and be on the border of those two things.
Or they Metalocalypse wants to go into the water. Maybe this was after they transformed into mermen.
Yeah. So do you have more Scott Horton-type wonderful ranting? Because I don't know much about all this, obviously, because I just called Cyprus Syria.
It's kind of crazy to me how fast this happens. It seems like the run up to this is going to be a lot quicker than the run up to Iraq. And it's kind of the new normal to where we make the joke about war were declared, but it's not even like that anymore. It's Obama just thinks it in his head, and that's the due process.
War weren't declared since like 1939 or something.
I know. And we'll be back with more fiends.
43. 44?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
All right, Freedom Beans, we are back. I'm Nima Vedati here in Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in Wyoming. So
hello.
That last bit, that was our Syria bit.
We got really Syria.
It's really ridiculous, suffice it to say that. And stop parroting the TV news because they are BS. There was a lady on CNN saying, we still don't know what happened or if it even is a chemical attack, but leaders across the world are sending troops. It's like, okay, so you don't know what it is,
that's Bush,
and you're sending troops.
That's Bush all over again, man.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Basically did the conspiracy theory thing. He held up papers with maps on them with blurry red arrows.
We have the documents.
Yeah. And sent Americans to die and kill other people. So we're going to play some music. We're going to lighten up here a little bit after getting so Syria and going to Plaid Alert, which we went to in the last segment. Wasn't that actually an alert at level where you worked somewhere?
Yeah, in a giant web company I worked for a minute.
Amazon.
They had service levels. So you had flat screens everywhere around the cubicles letting you know how your department was doing and how all the other departments was doing. And obviously green was good, you know, the normal colors, all the way down to black. Black was really bad. People never went into black. But apparently every now and then there'd be some disaster that everybody had to work on. And when it was like that, the service levels would be plaid. So you'd have a plaid alert. Things would go all the way to plaid.
Yeah.
I never saw it. This was an anecdote. I never saw it in person, but everybody talked about, oh, I remember when it went to plaid, man. Yeah.
So we're going to play
hard days.
We're going to play some music, and then we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about Randy Rhoads, the guitar player from who played on Crazy Train by Ozzy, that great riff. But we're going to play a different kind of riff. We're going to play my band, Baby Opaque, from 1984, doing the Johnny Cash tune, Long Black Veil, with Ian MacKay from Fugazi singing backup on this song. And it's a rip snorting punk rock and roll tune, but it's done with great respect. And yeah, I want to say that because we're on a country station on Sundays. And I love country. I love Johnny Cash. And this is sort of probably like how Hank III would do this song. But yeah, we did it when
it's
Hank,
an homage, yeah, not a deconstruction.
It is. Go ahead and play it. Thanks, man.
Here you go.
She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave. Well, I'm low.
Baby Opaque going all the way back to 1984.
Yeah.
And we're out.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Right we'll as the back. Punk music comes on.
Well, it's punk rock. It's short, man. On the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Yeah, it's the Freedom Fiends live. We've got Michael W. Dean out there in his, well, you know what kind of bunker it is. I'm Nima Vidati here in Round Rock, Texas, home of the Round Rock Express, named after, obviously, the train that runs through Round Rock. Also, a minor league baseball team where some roided-up major leaguer has been relegated to while they sort out what they're going to do with him.
Your punishment? You must go to Round Rock.
You must go to Round Rock.
We sentence you to Round Rock.
That's about right,
That's
man.
That's where you live.
But we'll talk about steroids later. But right now, we wanted to talk about trains, specifically crazy ones.
That right, that right. I love that riff, man.
I love the opening riff, like the intro riff. It gets kind of cheesy after that. Riff. I've always thought that riff. About... Did I said riff?
You said a rift.
Oh, like the Great Rift Valley. Yeah, I didn't mean to say rift. That was a mouth mistake, not a mind mistake. But I always thought that the
intro...
That was
George Bush's excuse, wasn't it? It was a mouth mistake, not a mind mistake. Yeah, with his Bushisms. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Go on. You love the intro.
The intro's amazing. And then the rest of the song is just kind of like...
Amazing.
It's kind of like, yeah, I guess. But yeah,
I suppose.
The reason the intro was amazing was because of Randy Rhoads, right?
Not the liberal talk show host, who's a woman. We're talking about the heavy metal guitarist who's a man.
Ah, okay. Yep. Okay. I didn't know there was a liberal talk show host named Randy Rhoads. But
that's because people don't hear about liberal talk show hosts. I don't know, man. Conservatives are just so much better at screaming into a microphone. They really are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hey, and Air America had a good idea. They had a good start. But, you know, Al Franken accidentally got himself locked out of the building while going to get a smoke break right before his first show. And that kind of set the tone for that whole thing that went under.
Can you believe that Al Franken is a senator? Like,
that's
what
a
more
Saturday
evidence?
Night Live skit, man. That is, yeah.
What more evidence do you need that we're living in bizarre world than Stuart Smalley, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you, is a freaking senator.
I know.
But I know. That's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Randy Rhoads' death.
I mean, at one point, people said, can you believe Ronald Reagan is the president? I mean, he was a B actor in Westerns that weren't very good. And
well, that's the joke in Back to the Future, right? They're like, well, who's president in 1980, whatever? And he's like, Ronald Reagan. And Doc is like, the film actor? Or whoever.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Doc, but whoever he's talking to.
The film actor? Yeah. Randy Rhoads for president. The deceased guitar player, not the liberal talk show host.
I'll vote for that. I'll vote for that.
Yeah. Well, people who vote, dead people vote sometimes. So why couldn't you vote for a dead person?
There you go. There you go.
Soon?
But no, not soon enough. The way Randy Rhoads died, you had mentioned it in passing after the Syria conversation.
Yeah. You know, in the military, they say he died a hero's death. You know, I think in rock and roll, you say he died a metal death. And
yes,
Randy Rhoads died a very metal death. He and another guy the other guy was on cocaine. Randy Rhoads tested positive after death only for nicotine, which kids, smoking kills. That's what this proves. So they took a stolen plane and were playing chicken in it and they died. So that's basically a PSA for against juvenile delinquency. If you smoke cigarettes and steal planes, it'll kill you, man. Don't do it, kids.
Yeah, well, the story got that much better when we were reading Wikipedia and realized that they just took a plane. Wikipedia says they took the plane without permission, but I think that that's called stealing.
Stealing.
that's Grand Theft Arrow.
Yeah.
So they took this Beechcraft, this little single prop plane, and because I guess one of the guys was a former pilot, and they decided to try to buzz, I guess that's the term, the quote, buzz the tour bus where the other band members were sleeping. And they did it successfully twice, but
third time is not a charm.
Yeah, not a charm.
And you know,
sorry,
I mean,
guys.
There's probably people who'd say we're being disrespectful of the dead. But you know, I have a lot of respect for Randy Rhoads while he was alive. He was an incredible guitar player and a consummate rock star. He looked the part, he sounded the part. He was really young and really gifted. And if you die a dumb death at your own hand, I think it's okay to laugh about it later, you know?
Well, he wasn't the one flying.
It's Darwinism in action.
Yeah. Well, he agreed to be
in the plane.
Well, do you think he was like yelling at the guy or do you think he was egging him on? Like, yeah, man, get closer to the bus. Or was he like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
I don't know. I wasn't there, yeah, fortunately. Yeah.
I wish we had the little black box.
Ah, yeah. We could do a FOIA request for the black box of that plane.
There you go.
Do small planes have a black box? They probably did not back then, but they probably do now.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. But yeah, that's about the most brutal death that I can think of for a metal guitarist to die in. I guess there could be more. I could probably think harder, but it's a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's even cooler than choking on your own vomit, which is the classic rock and roll death.
I don't know if choking on your vomit's that cool.
Jimi Hendrix, that, John Bonham.
That was played Keith out
Moon.
For a while.
Yeah.
The only cool reprise of it, which sometimes you can reprise a cliche and make it really cool, was in Breaking Bad. And it wasn't really cool. It was just kind of shocking. And
well, in Spinal Tap, one of their drummers died choking on someone else's vomit. And they don't know whose because you can't dust for vomit.
I still need to watch that. I know it's a shame. Nima doesn't
I can't believe – I don't know what that is what you're saying basically about – one of the funniest comedy movies ever. I mean, it's kind of the Who's On First of the modern time, or it's kind of the Blazing Saddles of my generation.
Yeah,
although Blazing Saddles is kind of the Blazing Saddles of my generation too, but it's the rock and roll Blazing Saddles.
Well, the format's kind of taken off too since then, right?
Mockumentary. Yeah. It wasn't the first mockumentary, but it was the biggest successful mockumentary to date at that time. And that is, I mean, there's whole TV series that are kind of mockumentary now.
Like The Office.
Yeah.
The whole concept is, well, we were shooting a documentary and you get to have the inside look at it. But yeah, I guess since we're trying to unicorn chase our serious story, there was another silver lining apparently today. I don't know if this is a direct response, but hey, it makes sense. And I say silver lining because precious metals prices have like jumped up a whole bunch, like the biggest spike I've seen since they've been kind of in this little slump. Silver up almost $1 and gold up $22.
Yeah.
So, see, I knew I was right to not sell my metals.
Yeah, and I sold mine and bought a microphone, and I sold them really low. But I bought a wonderful microphone. I bought an Electrovoice RE20, which is manufactured in Burnsville, Minnesota, which is where we're connecting to. That's where Genesis Communications Network is. And
it's
also Midas Resources, their precious metal selling company, is connected to them. Yep.
Yeah. And I would say buy low. So Michael sold his when he was in a slump. Don't be Michael. Do as he says, not as he does.
Yeah, I've kind of become the investment bad example. I sold my metals
lost
low,
your Bitcoin password.
And I lost my Bitcoin password. Yeah.
I thought Obama was going to give that back to us, though.
No, only God knows my Bitcoin password, man.
Yes, and he's keeping that for himself.
My riches will be in heaven, along with my Bitcoin. Yeah, you know, like when you move to Alaska, they give you $1,000 for moving there and becoming a resident. And
when you move to heaven, they give you 1.2
Bitcoin.
They give
you 3.3 Bitcoin. Yeah,
3.3, or would it be 7.77? That's the godly number, right?
Maybe. So someone asked me about a politician who's running in Washington State. I don't know his name. It doesn't really matter. He's a politician. And I, you know, someone wrote me and said, what do you think of this guy? And I looked at him and I said, never heard of him. Poked around on his website. Just looks like a typical small government Republican. Otherwise, someone who wants to rule people and have power. And I'd be willing to bet he doesn't preach individual liberties. You know, he probably preaches individual liberties, but... you know, I basically think if you want to know if a politician is really individual liberties, ask him these three questions.
Ah.
Do you think any nonviolent adult should be able to own a machine gun without a permit or tax stamp? Two, do you think gay marriage should be legal? Three, do you think all drugs should be legal, unregulated, and untaxed? If they answer anything other than yes to any of these, they do not believe in individual liberties. And the thing is, if you really are into individual liberties, you'd answer yes on all those, even if you're not a gun person, even if you don't like gays, and even if you think drugs are bad. Because if they can take away one thing, they can take away another. You know, there was a Republican in Wyoming who was fighting real hard to pass a law against Sharia law. And Sharia law is not an issue in Wyoming. if it were used,
I would say it's not an issue anywhere in the continental or in the United States.
And the thing is, if you pass a law against, you know, one of these boogeyman laws, these laws against something that may happen someday that's not going to happen now, that is actually covered in should be covered in the Bill of Rights in an accurate interpretation of them. The U.S. Constitution is the law of the land, right. Although politicians more and more are making that not so. But if you pass a law against Sharia law in America, that could be used as a precedent to prevent Christians from being able to cite religious beliefs in any other kind of lawsuit or law proceeding. Like basically they could say, oh, well, we passed a law against Sharia law, so we're going to pass a law against Christians homeschooling.
Homeschooling or vaccine exemptions, because those are often exempted on a religious basis. All sorts of things like that. Yeah, that's a really good point, and it kind of gets to the nut of the argument that when you restrict somebody else's freedom or use the apparatus of the state to do that, you're giving them a go-ahead. You're giving them a green light to go ahead and do that to anybody that the political whim feels like it should come down on, which could include you or yours at some future point.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Fox News, of all people, actually tried to make Ron Paul look bad and get him out of the running in when they had the debates. Their first question for Ron Paul was, do you think heroin should be legal? And his answer was basically, Christians should not be in favor of the drug war. And they're like, no, yes or no, yes or no. They wanted a soundbite from him so they could say, Ron Paul likes heroin. You should vote for Romney.
He played it beautifully. He goes, well, if it were legal tomorrow, would you go shoot heroin? And everybody cheered. They were like, what? Hey, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the government keeping me from injecting my veins with heroin.
Yeah.
It's my common sense.
Yeah, and he said that basically Christians should not be in favor of the drug war because if they can outlaw drugs, they can use that same kind of precedent to outlaw things about your religion. And that is absolutely true.
Exactly. And we'll have more fiends, including the tweak and review.
But no morphine. After this trip
to the market.
No morphine.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed.
But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Live radio. We love it, don't we? Yeah, that's what we're here for. So, welcome back to Freedom Fiends Live Talk Radio Show. It is the bottom of the last hour, and we must bid you adieu, but
we're basically teasing the fact that some of the stuff that happens when we're off is even more fun than the stuff that happens on.
Yes, but you don't get to know. Only the NSA does.
you can do a FOIA request and find out what we're saying.
FOIA request, right. You tried to do that with your Bitcoin password, didn't you?
Yeah, it didn't work.
didn't work.
I like how the board op remembered right then to hit the cuss dump build. Okay, they're getting feisty.
Somebody on Twitter tweeted that she had FOIA'd herself. She had FOIA'd the FBI for all documents.
Can you say that on radio?
I think you can. She FOIA'd the FBI for all documents with her name in it, and there was something like 5,000, and she's just like a regular Joe. She's some kind of blogger, you know. She had an internet presence, but maybe that should be like the new cool thing to do is FOIA yourself.
Well, it could also work against if everybody did it, then people who really
Would shut down. Yes, that is the new thing. Yes, let's all FOIA ourselves.
Well, no, because then basically people who are really trying to find information that is useful to everybody wouldn't be able to get it as quickly. And they can't get it quickly anyway. And a lot of times FOIA requests come back with a black page, a redacted page that looks like that Frank Zappa song called The Black Page, so named because that instrumental when transcribed is an almost black page because there are so many notes on it.
Too many notes for the royal ear.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
Go on.
All right. Tweak and review. Okay. So first, we talked about the behavior czar. Yes. A 27-year-old fiddle player. she's going to now be in charge of a kind of behavior suggestions, nudging. She's the nudge master. And we wonder, will she play the U.S. or will she be the instrument played by Cass Sunstein, who originated the language nudge to describe what should be done to the average American.
Oh, and he also called it libertarian paternalism. And if you search libertarian podcast on iTunes, the first thing that comes up is Cass Sunstein's speech at the Chicago Law School about libertarian paternalism. He did a totally 1984-ish thing with the word libertarian with that. He made it dirty. By making it something it's not.
Well, and I think what he means by libertarian is the government won't force you to do things. We'll just steal your money so we can pay people to suggest that you do things.
That's the government idea of libertarianism.
Right, exactly. So next up, we talked about big science. And what that ends up meaning is that the state has power over you. So when the state funds science, they're going to – I mean, you've heard of people who are scientists writing grant proposals and trying to get funding and this and that. Well, the state gets to decide what they fund, and what the state wants to do more than anything else, their primary motive is the libido dominandi, the lust for power. So what they want is more control over you, more power over you. So you end up getting things like the NSA. Even if you funnel all that money into NASA, you might as well be funding –
and you basically get the nerds that were picked on in high school lording over you, like your emperor becomes Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory.
right, who thinks that it is only right and good that he gets to call the shots for you lesser IQ'd beings. And speaking of lesser IQ beings, what is Obama doing in Syria? What is going on here? So I titled this blurb Serious Stupidity, and we spent a segment on it. But this is an alleged chemical attack of which people who are chemical weapons experts say, what? What chemical weapons attack? These people are dead, but the people handling the bodies, the people on the ground, have no chemical protection, and they're just fine. There's no people with any intermediate symptoms, people who are on the fringes who just got sick or had issues that you would get from chemical weapons. There's none of the normal telltale signs for it being a chemical attack. And not only that, but what incentive would the Syrians have, the Syrian government, even though they're evil people, what incentive would they have to do something like this when they know that this is what Obama calls his red line? They have have none. And the UN inspectors were in there at the time of the attack. And then Syria says, okay, well, the UN inspectors are right there. Why don't you send them to investigate? Washington says, no, too late. We're sending warships there to fight a war for Al-Qaeda now. I mean, that hasn't happened. The trigger hasn't been pulled. But we've seen this kind of stuff before. And it's not going on a very safe path, I would say. And so that was the Freedom Fiends tweak and review. I was going to read the three questions you should ask of a politician to see if they're really into personal liberties, but I think we can boil it down to one, and that question is, are you a politician? And we will be back with more Fiends. Listen to the Midweek Cast and join us next weekend. Thank you, Fiends.
Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's F-R-E-E-D-O-M-F-E-E-N-S.com.